Today on the Steve Alstrom Show, a bear is on the loose. You can tell we're not country folk around here. The whole town is buzzing about the bear today. Governor Kelly Armstrong says we got a little loose on our spending in North Dakota after the last 20 years or so, and that's got to stop. Minnesota Democrats are loose cannons, say some residents, after a slew of taxes are pushing license tab renewals over $1,000. And the process is a little too loose in Fargo when it comes to kids buying tobacco and smoking products in town. One gas station chain got cited 3 times. Good morning, my friend. Great to be here with you on the Steve Alstrom Show. Good to be back in the studio in Fargo today. Outside of the weather and internet issues and whatever that we had yesterday in Watford City. So good to be back in the friendly confines of the building in Fargo today. Not that I don't love going out to Watford City, but boy, we had some gremlins in the process yesterday. It's been a while since I drove in winds like I drove in yesterday, coming home late afternoon. I have a Lincoln Navigator SUV. This is not supposed to be a flex. I'm just setting up the story for you. It's a big car. It's probably bigger than I need, but it's the car that I have, and I love that vehicle. And that thing is a beast. And yet I was being shoved around, not really, but the frame of the vehicle absolutely was getting moved. My wheels never left the ground, thank goodness, but wow, was it windy. I heard that there were straight line winds at 44 to 46 yesterday at times in Watford City. And there was one stretch in the morning, I remember looking outside the window, and it was snowing sideways. And it was like, you didn't want to get outside because it doesn't matter how big those snowflakes were, and they were fairly big, by the way. It looked like a snowball fight. It looked like you get a concussion just by stepping outside yesterday. So it was a really, really windy day. Driving home was like that. Breezy here this morning in Fargo, but not like it was yesterday. About the only thing I didn't like about my trip to Watford City yesterday. UND fans, how you feeling? Big night, huh? Big afternoon, I guess. 4 o'clock today down in Vegas. Time for the Frozen Four against the Wisconsin Badgers. I'm a Gopher hockey fan. Grew up down there. I grew up cheering for every University of Minnesota team. It was we lived basically in the northern suburbs. And had a cousin who played football for the Gophers, and we just turned into huge Gopher fans. And back then, they were great year in and year out in hockey. We haven't been so good here for the last couple of years or so. But it's a fun time of year when your team makes the Final Four in hockey, or the Frozen Four, as they call it in hockey. So 4 o'clock today out in Vegas. I bet you can find a Kelly Green shirt out in Vegas today. UND fans travel. Wisconsin fans, it's kind of like Minnesota. Like when the team's doing well, there's interest, but it'll be 90% green in the arena today because, you know, Wisconsin fans, they are excited about their softball team and baseball and all the other sports they have down there. Not to say that UND doesn't have other sports because they do. But it's nothing like hockey. Hockey's like 10 to 1, anything else up in Grand Forks, as we all know. And it is going to be bedlam down there. And UND fans, your team's got a shot. No question about this one. On paper, you're a favorite today over Wisconsin. I would say the puck line on this, or the spread on this one, is probably UND minus 1.5 on the goals, something like that. And so we'll see what happens. The other semifinal is where Michigan sits. And Michigan, I believe the top overall seed. It's going to be a tough one. But it should be a fun day for UND hockey fans. And good luck to, I still call them the Sioux. If you're Native American, I get it. But I actually don't even think Native Americans in North Dakota mind it, if I'm honest about that. So go Sioux. I can say that. Got a lot of ground to cover here on the show today. Robbie Loft will be with us. He's the executive director of Teddy Roosevelt Presidential Library. And he will be here with us in the 10 o'clock hour to give us an update on what's going on out there. They're getting close. And we want to know, when's Trump coming? And is Barack Obama coming? Is George Bush Jr. coming? Who's all coming to this thing? Are Bill and Hill coming? That's typically what happens when they open these presidential libraries. So we'll see what happens there. And a lot of really interesting news stories going on today. I'm going to also introduce you maybe to a name you don't know, but you will hear about him a lot over the next couple of months around here. His name is Matt Rife. He's a comic, and he is a big, 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 big deal. He is, he could be the next Bill Cosby, Eddie Murphy. He's that good. And so he's got a show coming up here at the Dome. I'll tell you a little bit about this guy and why people just can't seem to get enough of this dude. So that's coming up, and some big news if you are a women's basketball fan in North Dakota. Well, for most of you anyway. So a lot of ground to cover. We'll catch you up on the war, too. It didn't take long for the Iranians to basically stick the middle finger out to Trump. And so we'll cover all that, too. So let's rock and roll here. Time for the Morning Wire, semi-automatic storylines, as we give you a rapid-fire rundown of the world around us here as we get things going on this Thursday, April 9th. I will mention to you that in Fargo, the record high temp today, 86. 86! You know when that was? 1887. 1887. If it was 86 today, the climate jihad would be basically trying to shut down the whole city and say, we are going to die in 10 minutes because of climate change. So I don't know if they thought that way back in 1887. My guess is they had their heads screwed on a little bit better back then. A record low today for this day, 7. We would have set a record low with what we had a couple of days ago here in town. So interesting stuff there. We will gain 3 minutes and 17 seconds of glorious daylight. Driving home from the Bakken yesterday, man, it was light until well after 9. And, well, not well after 9, but just a couple minutes after 9. But, man, it's I love this time of year. But when is the warm bleeping weather going to get here, you guys? Golly, I thought we would have all this snow melted by now. But we cannot seem to find the warm weather here. And Dean says, you know, maybe a little bit coming this weekend, but it's been slow. The warm-up's been a little slow here in April, at least to my way of thinking. In the markets today, after a big day yesterday, everything was way up yesterday except oil prices way down. We're kind of going the other direction today. And this is the ping-pong game we play every day. Oh, the war's going to end. No, the war's not going to end. Yeah, the war's going to end. No, it's not going to end. And so we're on one of those not going to end days today. So Dow is off 111, S&P 500 down 10, NASDAQ down 56. Sigh. Oil today back up. We're back over $100 a barrel on WTI. So I guess the war ain't going to end anytime soon after all. Gold today up $22 an ounce. Silver up a nickel. Bitcoin today about $1,000 less than where we were yesterday, 71,000 or so. And AAA says average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas, 416. Diesel today at 568. North Dakota average 360 on the money. Minnesota 374. South Dakota 369. All right. In the news today, I will admit to you today is one of those days, teacher, the dog ate my homework. You remember in the old days of computers, it didn't give you that automatic prompt if you tried to close out of the whatever Microsoft Word document you were working on or whatever you're working on. It wouldn't ask you, hey buddy, you sure you want to close this window? Because you haven't saved any of this yet, and it's all going to go away. And so you'd just click out of something. You're like, oh, I love it. There was no autosave back in the day. Well, there's no autosave in the digital channel that I use to prepare all my show stories. So I clicked out of it and gone. So I'm trying to recreate my top stories here. I've got a few here for you that I'll mention to you, but we're not as organized as we typically are. But there's been a black bear sighting in Fargo. Fargo police say officers are on the scene monitoring the bear, working with Game and Fish and the Red River Zoo. Yeah, why not? Add an exhibit. There was a black bear sighting near the Fargo VA this morning. That's kind of northeast part of town. But then the bear also apparently got hungry, and Yogi sauntered on down to the Northport Hornbockers, which is not out in the middle of nowhere, just walking down the street. And so he was spotted near the grocery store. I guess a bear can get hungry, too. So that's the big story there. The other one, on the statewide level, Kelly Armstrong is giving more specifics to the teaser he gave us a couple of days ago. He says, we got to cut spending in this state in the next biennium. We've grown irresponsibly in the last 20 years. So he's calling on agencies with general fund budgets of less than $10 million to prepare a hold-even budget. If your budget is between $10 and $20 million, you got to identify reductions of 3%. It's 10% cuts if you're $20 million or more. Steve Alschman Show back after this.
Oh, this is how you start a segment right here. Take me back to high school here. All right, 20 past the hour here on the Steve Alschman Show. And Addison spinning the hits for us today. In the heart of the Bakken, life is always interesting, but complexity should not be part of your financial future. At Midwest Wealth in Watford City, Matt Schultz and the team believe in making the complicated things simple. With over 100 years of combined experience, Matt and his team create custom retirement and estate plans designed uniquely for you. Whatever phase of life you're in, lean on a century of expertise. Midwest Wealth in Watford City, Matt Schultz and his team building your retirement on your terms. Online at RaymondJames.com/MidwestWealth. All right, the ping pong game that will not end. One day it looks like the war might wind down soon. The next day, well, is today. I see Carolyn Leavitt just a couple minutes ago said in a statement that the White House is expecting the Strait of Hormuz to reopen momentarily. So within minutes. Okay. Excuse me if I'm not going to hold my breath on this one. This is not a slight on the president or Ms. Leavitt. They're both lovely. But I just, tell me when the war ends. At this point, just let me know when we've got the best we can get and we're calling it good, and we'll just go from there. Because this thing, you just have to know going in, it's going to get messy. It's super complicated. These people are not rational. You cannot reason with them. And so to expect that they are going to do anything you can understand or that they will understand you is a fool's errand. Not that you don't try to do your bombings and you know, stuff from above and all that, your military operations, because you have to do that. It's the only thing you understand. But when we start hearing a lot of stories, I touched on this a little bit yesterday. I said, I don't buy any of the ceasefire that Iran's going to. And I don't know that they stopped at all, really. And so here we are, 24, 36 hours later, and the whole thing's basically just falling apart, okay? So where we stand right now, President Trump is telling reporters that he expects Iran to comply with the terms that he says were agreed on for a ceasefire ahead of planned negotiations this weekend. And he says, if Iran does not comply with what they said that they were going to do and we agreed to, he will order, shock and awe all over the country this weekend or early next week. Iran is saying their side of the story on this whole thing and why they're not complying with the agreement they gave is that Israel is continuing to strike Hezbollah in Lebanon. Okay, so this is like, you're trying to negotiate with the rival gang at school or something, and then the guy on the other side says, "Well, yeah, but your friend punched my friend after third hour today, so anything you and me are up to, that's all off the table." So Iran is dodging, Iran is delaying. This is what they do. To expect that they were going to do anything different was really silly. The White House says, we never said anything about Israel and Hezbollah. That's not part of the deal. The deal we have is between us. And so you've got these two sides with competing realities, and Iran is saying, no, you're not complying, and the U.S. is looking at its list of things it said it was going to do. I said, where on here does it say anything about Israel and Hezbollah? So here we go. Stocks down, oil up, as we talked about a few minutes ago. And Iran is not letting things go through the strait, or at least letting the things that we want to go through the strait there. So who are we really dealing with in Iran is the question. I said to you yesterday that I had three big questions, and that's one of them is, who's making these rules, and does the left hand have any idea what the right hand is doing? This is not a place where you've got orderly people, rational people, and they're certainly not communicating very well at a time like this. They probably don't communicate great anyway. And in this case, you got one person in one bunker, another in another bunker. Who knows what the communication's like? And they all seem to be religious fanatics more than anything else, so you're not dealing with rational people anyway. Their deputy foreign minister tells CBS that Israel's attacks on Lebanon were a grave violation of the ceasefire agreement. So they say it was written down. White House says no, it wasn't. When asked if Iran would tell Hezbollah to stop firing at Israel, the Iranian leader said, no, we don't have anything to do with them. Okay, so this is how comical this whole thing is, right? So, no, we don't have it, but you have to be held accountable for what your partner people are doing over there. The military leader there did not deny that Iran helps train Hezbollah fighters, but they said they have nothing to do with us. We don't have anything to do with them. On the Strait of Hormuz, this Iranian official said, we are definitely going to provide security for safe passage, and it will happen after the United States withdraws this aggression, and that Iran will determine its own protocol on how things run until then. So this is just kind of where we're at right now. This diplomat that they were talking to at CBS News said Iran, the country, has many doubts about the prospects for a final peace agreement with the United States, suggesting that they think Washington could just be stalling, basically accusing the U.S. of what they're obviously doing, right? We see this in American politics all the time. But they say that Washington, D.C., President Trump, doesn't have any intention of really honoring the ceasefire. And they're dictating to them instead of compromising, which they agreed to do. So, look, I don't want to be one of those, I don't care, the whole thing's screwed up, there's never going to be a good way to get out of this. I'm not trying to be like that. I'm just saying that I feel today the same way I did on day one of this whole thing, and that is that once you decide to do this kind of attack, and once you decide that getting the uranium out of Iran is your goal, you have automatically endorsed boots on the ground. Because there's no way that you can do this with all these guys in their tunnels with the buried uranium and the programming they're doing underground. You're not going to get that with you don't have enough bunker buster bombs to do that. You're going to need to have boots on the ground there. So if that is our goal, and that's what we have to do to ensure peace around the world, which is what the Trump administration has been saying and what makes a lot of sense to me, then you have to say, okay, every tactic is now on the table, including a lot of military on the ground walking around, and that's going to be dangerous, but there's no other way to do it. There just isn't. So get ready for boots on the ground because it's coming. It'll have to. There's no other way to do this. I really don't hear anybody talking about that, and that's weird to me. It's like nobody wants to say it, but is there another way to do this? Do we have some sort of like a fracking bomb or something that can get down and then go sideways for 2 miles? Because that's what you're going to need to make this happen. All right, a North Dakota lawmaker, and not just any old lawmaker, says Donald Trump should be removed from office via the 25th Amendment. We'll examine the case next. Coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio. DriveWithVision.com, that's Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. Great place to advance your career. Whether you're in sales, service, administration, they would love to talk to you about the job opportunities they have down there. Go to DriveWithVision.com. If you want to call me today, 701-271-1100. Happy to have you jump in. What am I missing on the Iran thing? And why is nobody talking like boots on the ground are going to be a done deal? Is there another way to do this and fulfill the mission? Maybe some of you, I know there's a lot of you that have served and have a keen knowledge on how these things work militarily, and maybe there's something I'm missing. I just don't know what that is, so help a brother out if you can, 271-1100 today. Or a studio at flagfamily.com. The phone line is brought to you by Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness. You can also text us at that same number, 701-271-1100. So emailer Brad said, Steve, was Wisconsin the number one team in their region for hockey? No, they were not. They were the third, I believe, out east somewhere. They beat Michigan State in overtime in that region championship. That was a pretty big upset. Wisconsin's a decent team. Obviously, they're playing really well, and that's kind of how it is. You get a hot goaltender, and you get a little puck luck. You can go a long way. But they don't have a great record. It's not like, oh boy, that's why they were a three seed. So I think it could be a really good weekend for UND hockey. Really could. All right, let's get to story of the day. So every once in a while, there's a story that I see that makes me say, well, these people are crazy. And they don't often come from North Dakota, but it does today. The story of the day is one of those stories from today. And this is a little bit of a paragraph 10 story because the good details are a little bit deeper into the story. I'm going to go off of Bobby Filat's story that he wrote for the Valley News Live website. And it goes a little something like this. North Dakota State Representative Jamie Davis is among more than 200 state lawmakers across the country calling on Vice President J.D. Vance and the presidential cabinet to immediately invoke the 25th Amendment and remove President Donald Trump from office. The letter was organized by a state representative that nobody's ever heard about from Michigan and a Rhode Island state senator that nobody's ever heard of either. And it is signed by at least 200 lawmakers from more than two dozen states that you've never heard about. The letter cites Donald Trump's recent social media posts about Iran as a key catalyst. So they want to not impeach him. They want to probably take him out back and shoot him, but they'd settle for just removing him from office. And they say, well, it's these Truth Social posts that prove he's not fit for office, threatening to destroy Iranian power plants and bridges. These are war crimes, of course, which is, you know, give the Democrats an inch and they'll take a mile here. And the letter that all these people have signed says, every day the President Trump continues to have access to the nuclear codes and the bully pulpit of the presidency is another day where the safety of American people around the world remain in jeopardy. So the letter demands that they remove Trump from office and that they go to Congress, and Congress needs to decide if they're going to declare war or not. And they say, the American people have spoken clearly that we don't want any war going on here. So that's the story, okay? So what's interesting about this whole thing, of course, is that the 25th Amendment is not to be used against a president who you don't agree with. And that's what we have here. So this is an unserious letter written by an unserious group of people. I didn't even know that we had a thing called Jamie Davis in North Dakota. But Davis is the top Democrat in the North Dakota House of Representatives. And she apparently put a Facebook post up, which is what everybody does to communicate everything these days, and said her decision to sign was not driven by politics. No, of course not. Who would have come up with such a crazy idea? This was a decision driven by conscience. This is a moral decision. Davis, who is indigenous, so she's a Native American, okay, said Trump's language carried a particular weight for her and her community. Yes, of course, when you're talking about roads and bridges in Iran, I can see how Davis would feel threatened by that. And again, she's going to throw her back out stretching to make this point, but quote, as an indigenous person, I do not have the luxury of ignoring this kind of language. Our people know what it means when governments dehumanize entire populations. We know where that can lead. That is not theory for us. That is lived history. And she said she felt a clear sense of responsibility despite the gravity of the moment. I'm sure she did. She wrote, quote, I am shaken by this moment, but I'm also clear about my responsibility in it. In my role, I will always choose to speak up when something crosses a line that threatens human life, dignity, and our shared humanity. So that is that's her story on this whole thing there. So you have to ask some questions here about the 25th Amendment. We called for it when Joe Biden was in office because he was clearly not capable of doing the job anymore. And they ended up pulling him out of that race because it was clear that he was not capable of doing that job anymore, wasn't capable of campaigning. There was just nothing to Joe Biden. I don't mean to say this in a mean-spirited fashion. This will happen to most of us at some point along the way, where we just don't have the mental wherewithal to continue doing the job that we're doing. But they kept throwing him out there. Like, have you seen the fake video on YouTube where they have it's a volleyball player, it's a men's volleyball player, and he's playing volleyball and he gets beat in the head with a volleyball, and he's like kind of woozy. But then he gets hit in the head again and again and again. And as the video goes on, it's clearly intended for humor. And they like lift the guy up above the net to block the ball when the other team's hitting it. It hits him in the head again. Hits him in the head like 85 times. And he's completely out of it, which maybe we shouldn't laugh at these things with concussions the way they are. But I'm sorry. I'm a human being. And it was funny to me. So this is that's kind of how it felt like with Joe Biden at the end. It's like, the guy's not—he's not responsive. He doesn't command situations, and so I mean, praise God that our country didn't get attacked or some horrific terrorism act on our country at that time, because we have no idea who would have led the response. With Trump, at least So we thought the 25th Amendment was justified at that time. This I mean, paper thin does not even begin to describe the case that they would have here. This is political. Of course it is. And you can say all of the common things that we've all been saying along the way here, like every president has said for, 30 years, we got to get rid of these Iranians. We can't let them have weapons. We probably should try to take out their leadership. Well, Trump does it. And now, isn't it interesting that because the polling is starting to turn against the president on this one, and again, who knows what polling means, but the polls that are out there all seem, now they've become boldened. It's funny how the finger up in the wind thing works here, because on the trans issue, you don't hear a whole lot of fighting on that politically. You see things happening behind the scenes, but you don't see the politicians out doing like they're doing here. Like, there's no call for Donald Trump to be removed via the 25th Amendment because of his stance on Title IX. Why? Because it doesn't poll well. Well, this polls well, so the Democrats see an opportunity. But of course, no, Representative Dave, this is not political. We understand that. Gosh, who would ever think such a thing there? So, Davis, I don't know where Davis is from. Addison, would you take a look at this Jamie Davis, J-A-Y-M-E Davis, North Dakota State Representative, where she is from? What town she's from. So I don't know anything about her, and I want to be respectful to people of color and indigenous people and all that, so I'm going to resist the urge to get on a little bit of a roll here and have fun with any part of that, because I don't think that's the right call either. But, I mean, she's just clearly bonkers on this issue, along with 200 other Democrats. The other thing I would say on this is, this is kind of like me and Michelle Turnberg the other day talking about why city commissions do not pass resolutions about Hamas. Is it nobody cares? It doesn't matter. Nobody cares except for a handful of activists. And if it's only a handful of activists that care, then government should not be wasting any of its time doing anything. Government is there to do what the people cannot do for themselves. That's what government is there for. So, Representative Davis, now, I'm not saying she spent taxpayer money to do this or whatever, but why? This is not going to accomplish anything. Maybe it'll get you a few pats on the back from your, circle of buddies. Oh, good for you, Jamie. You're so great. You're so tough. You showed Trump who's boss. And most of us look around and go, who's Jamie Davis? and like we're doing right now. And why do you think like a state lawmaker from, you know, Podunk, whatever state you're in, like any state, why do you think that you signing some letter to remove President Trump, do you think this is going to like do anything? Like, why did you take the 5 seconds you did to, you know, sign this letter or take the 20 minutes to post a Facebook post? Unless you're virtue signaling. Oh, well, that might be it, because there's no chance that this means anything. So why take the time? Now, I get once in a while you stand up for something that seems right, but stand up for something that seems right that you feel like can actually make a difference. I mean, there's got to be other things in Representative Davis's life that you feel like you might be able to actually do some good with, make some change. This is not one of those battles to fight there. So to me, that story of the day, and 25th Amendment can, I guess, mean a lot of things to a lot of different people. But in this case, I just don't know why we take the time to do any of that. From the text line, Steve, she's doing this because she's scared of getting beat for that Senate seat. This is the only way she can get some news. Well, maybe, but again, this is Addison, did you find anything? No? Not yet? Okay. Well, we'll dig it up here. It shouldn't take us too long. So I don't know what the plan is here. Maybe that's the deal. Maybe she is in an area where maybe she's in a red area. I mean, there's a lot of them here in North Dakota, and feels like she needs to go this route. I don't know. It just, to me, it feels like a waste of time and a complete misappropriation of any energy on the 25th Amendment whatsoever. All right, when we come back on the program, who is Matt Rife and why is everybody talking about him? All right, Jamie Davis resides in Rolette, North Dakota. She's a citizen of the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Indians. She's originally from Belcourt. So, again, demographically, that's kind of what you're probably going to find there. So to the texter who actually raised a good question, maybe she's scared of getting beat for that Senate seat. Maybe it's the only way she can get some news. My guess is that she's in a pretty blue area and may not have to worry too much about how to get reelected. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, it's a good theory. I kind of wondered about that, too. But in this case, she's probably pretty safe doing whatever. I just like, why waste your time? Doesn't make any sense to me. Also from the text line this morning, and again, it's we've changed this process here. It used to be a separate phone number. Now it's the same as the phone line. 701-271-1100. Another text. Steve, then we should title 25, all of them, because we nearly unanimously want ID to vote. Yeah, get rid of everybody in Congress because it seems pretty clear. I'm with you on that. So thank you for the comments there. Who is Matt Rife and why is everybody talking about his upcoming show at the Fargo Dome? This came out yesterday that this guy is going to be playing a show at the Dome. I had never heard of Matt Rife until maybe a month or so ago, and something showed up on a random social media feed at the time. And I have to admit to you, I've become hooked on the guy. Whenever I see these, and so, right, you're going to start seeing a bunch of them, right? So who is the guy? Where did he come from? He's kind of come out of nowhere to most of us, but he's had sort of a cult-like following for quite some time. So how do you describe this guy and his comedy style? Well, I got a couple of notes on this from just different websites that talk about these things and a little bit of AI searching too. He is probably the most polarizing person in comedy today. He is he is described as a guy who's a blend of old school crowd work talent and new school TikTok fueled mega fame. So his work with the audience, spontaneous on the spot, is, I think, what makes him special. He'll just like see somebody, some rando out in the crowd, and he'll just say, "Hey, what's your name?" Because I'm wearing a weird t-shirt or something. He'll find something to talk about with you. And he doesn't care if he's politically correct or not. He will dig into every stereotype and trope and everything out there. And he has a way of doing it, though, where it's not mean-spirited. He's just kind of having some fun with you. And if you're hypersensitive, you're probably not going to one of his shows. And you're certainly not buying a seat anywhere in the first 10 rows or so. He was not a guy that got his rise with typical, you know, HBO specials or whatever. He started doing these things, just kind of his own TikToks and reels or whatever, and then ended up doing some stuff on OnlyFans, which OnlyFans is, what I know about it is where women go and take off their clothes and they build, you know, basically online exhibitionist channels or whatever. Well, you can do this for other things. It doesn't have to be the lewd content. So he kind of got some fame doing that. He's a good-looking dude. The ladies love him. And he is tremendously quick on his feet. Really, really quick. Like, some of his one-liners when he's talking to somebody in the crowd, I think, if I had 10 minutes to come up with that, I couldn't have come up with that. But he just... He gets it, and the guy with his audience interaction is he's as good as I have ever seen. He's in certain cases too. He's given you ideas. He's a fairly complex human being. Now I'm not being paid to sell tickets or anything like that, but you're going to hear a lot about the guy. And if you're a month ago, I'd have been like, "Who is this guy?" So I'm just kind of trying to help you understand. He's also a fairly complicated person. I saw, like, he had an Easter Sunday post, and it had a cross on it and something about Easter Sunday. I would have never thought, based on his act. Not that he's, like, into any, you know, really bad stuff, but the language is, you got to be ready for that. I mean, the F-bomb is a regular part of the show, and... So you get a little bit of that. So the guy's got a lot of stuff going on, and he's been called out on some things. He makes jokes about everything. Like, he's made jokes about domestic violence, right? And so that gets some backlash. But his crowd understands that, look, I'm not going to take this too seriously. If you're a victim of domestic violence, it's probably not, it doesn't sit great with you. But he's like, look, I'm just trying to find humor where I can find it. And he has said, in every bad situation or every bad subject, piece of subject matter, you can find something to laugh about. So he's when you criticize him, he doesn't really take it all that seriously. And one time he posted a trigger warning that led to a website for special needs helmets. So he's that kind of a guy. And he's going to be coming to Fargo, I think, in June, they said. And I've been getting, as I've been talking about this now, I'm getting multiple texts saying, I'm getting my tickets. I bought my tickets. I've got four or five texts that have hammered, that have come out right now. People hammering the thing. So this is going to sell out pretty quick. If you're interested in tickets, probably get them soon. All right, hour two of the program coming up next. Steve Hallstrom Show, hour number two, the key three. On the way. Hour number two of the Steve Hallstrom Show is brought to you in part by James Patrick Realty. And if you did not know this, you're not alone, because I didn't either. But there's a realtor in Fargo who charges less commission than everybody else and also ranks in the top 1% for homes sold. His name is Dan Perrine, and he is with James Patrick Real Estate. He has years of experience selling what for most of us is our biggest asset, and that's our home. He delivers deep market knowledge, expert pricing, tough negotiations, and smooth, clean closings. No gimmicks, no catches, just top-tier results and real savings. Ready for more money in your pocket? Well, it's Dan Perrine. Call him today, 701-540-3747, or visit jamespatrickrealestate.com, jamespatrickrealestate.com. Yesterday, we were talking on the program about with Senator Tory Westrum from Alexandria, and he was talking about how Democrats have completely gone off the rails in Minnesota and mandating tampons in boys' bathrooms and things like that. And then we had a call from a gentleman who was on his way to Vegas for the UND hockey game and said, hey, I just want to make sure we're clear about this. There is not a law in Minnesota that says you have to put these products in the boys' bathroom. So Addison, getting back today after being gone for a few days, was on vacation. So filling in was Jeff Thaden, JT, our operations manager. And he, in the middle of one of the commercial breaks at the end of the show, actually looked up what the law says. And that was a nice addition to the show. Unfortunately, I didn't see it until the show was just wrapping up. So here's what the law says. I'm going to read it to you because our caller is right more than he's wrong, but it's complicated. Okay, so here's the deal. The law says a school district or a charter school, this is Minnesota now, remember, must provide students with access to menstrual products at no charge. Okay, so far, I understand. It's not unclear in any way. By the way, I guess I didn't even remember that this is something that schools have to provide to their kids. For whatever reason, I missed that part of it. Okay, secondly, the products must be available to all menstruating students in restrooms regularly used by students in grades 4 through 12, according to a plan developed by the school district. So the key words here. These products have to be available to all menstruating students in the restrooms regularly used by the students. So this is all restrooms if you're grade 4 through 12. Where they get you here is the words menstruating students because, as we know, the liberals believe that boys can go through these cycles. I know, but it's what it is. So menstrual products, you know what we're talking about. We don't need to get into the heavy details here. So the law requires the products to be available in restrooms regularly used by students, but does not specifically mandate boys' bathrooms, okay? So there's some autonomy here for these schools to try to figure out how they want to interpret that. Because if you are a rational human being who happens to lead a school district in the sticks of Minnesota, you look at the rules and you say, well, that doesn't apply here because obviously that's only girls that need these products. So it's not. But if you are a wacko liberal in the Twin Cities area working in the school who's an activist and believes these weird ideas, follow the science, or don't in this case, then you can say, oh, well, of course. Well, boys do that too, so we need to have. So it's kind of one of those wink, wink, nudge, nudge things, but it does not specifically say you have to have these things in boys' bathrooms. It's not required, according to state law, I'm reading right out of the rule book here, that you have to put these things in the boys' bathrooms. But you know that they're there because you know that there are people that believe these things in our schools there. So got to have them available there, but the Minnesota Department of Education, the teachers union, has come out with social media posts after this all came down saying, just so you know, we have not said in any way or shape to our teachers union members that we must stock these products in the boys' bathroom. So a school could put them in there, but they are not legally forced to put them in the boys' bathrooms. They are required to have them available for the girls. Okay, so that's how that goes. So the senator is not wrong. The caller is not wrong. It's one of those sort of marginal in the weeds sort of things. So anyway, there you go. All right, it's time for the key three, which I'm going to cheat a little bit today and turn into the key four. I got to have a better name for that. I got to find something rhymes with four. But I couldn't reduce it to three today. I just couldn't. I'm sorry. Story number one, Kelly Armstrong has given specifics to what he and I talked about a couple of days ago on this show when he told us he's going to call on state agencies to do budget cuts. Well, now we know what he's talking about. If you have an agency with a general fund budget of less than $10 million, you have to prepare a hold even budget. You cannot increase your spending. If you have a budget between $10 and $20 million, you have to reduce your spending by 3%. If you have a budget over $20 million, you have to reduce your spending by 10%. Ooh, boy. 10% reduction in cost. So Fargo City Commission, take notes. Some government entity somewhere is saying, you know what? We're going to have to do with the same money we had last year, even though expenses might be rising. Can't bring your 11.4% budget increase to Kelly Armstrong. He's not having it. So, very interesting and good. I like it. Kelly is doing a great job. He is. As a governor of this state, he's doing things like this that make a lot of sense. So go in the right direction there. I mean, you always argue it could be more, but shoot, when's the last time you heard a governor or mayor or whatever say something like this? If you live in Fargo, the answer is forever. Alpha News reports that the new license tab fee schedule is in effect, and Minnesota drivers are shocked by their soaring license tab fees. People are now calling in disbelief to DMV after receiving their renewal notices for their tabs. In some cases, the fees are about equal or maybe even more than their monthly car payments. Okay? Alpha News with this story. Who else would do it, right? They tell a story about a Twin Cities resident who opened up the envelope from the state, got the renewal. It was $1,300. $1,300 for your license tabs. And a source within the state talked to a Texas transplant guy who moved from Texas to Minnesota. Who would do that? I guess sometimes you have to. Most people are going the other direction. He was stunned by a $600 license tab renewal and initially thought it had to have been a mistake. So this is what you get in Tim Walz's Minnesota. They got to pay for this stuff somehow. And I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so. Family leave, it all adds up. They never accurately estimate what these things are going to cost. So they got to keep jacking up your fees for other things. Minnesota restaurant owners are facing dire straits, says the Minnesota Hospitality Department. A State of Hospitality report shows Minnesota restaurants face economic uncertainty with lower profits, increased costs, rising wages, and reduced traffic. And many restaurants, they're estimating as many as, 18% of restaurants may have to close their doors in 2026. One restaurant owner said, "I don't want to be an alarmist. I don't even know how to be an alarmist. But truth is, traffic is down. Profitability is harder to chase every day. When prices go so high and the revenue isn't there, something breaks. The math doesn't work. For my staff, it means less hours, more stress, a lot of uncertainty. They don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to be able to open up every day. For us, it's just continuing to fight every day just to stay open." And finally, Anthropic says that its new Mythos AI product is drawing alarm for the abilities that it has learned how to do on its own. They set this up as a product that could, you just kind of figure out, you know, how to respond in certain situations. But now, apparently, the system is starting to think on its own. And one of the software developers that was programming this product got an email while eating his lunch on a park bench, eating a sandwich, and nobody can figure out how the email got authorized. Anthropic says it is talking with the U.S. government about how this could be used in counterterrorism efforts, but they say they are not going to release this product to the public because it is too powerful. Maybe some sales puffery, I don't know, but this brings up a question that we're asking about the future of AI. No doubt about that. Best thing I heard all day when we come back. Text from Vinny said, "Steve, if you can't fit it all in your key three, go with more with four." I like it. When you can't fit it all in three, more with four. That's kind of what we had to do today. Thank you. You can send a text message as well, or you can call 701-271-1100. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Got a couple of guys waiting to talk, so let's do it here. Let's get to that before the best thing I heard. Kevin wants to talk about the boys' bathroom issue, and I did have a text come in over the break, too, saying, "Hey, Steve, might have been a faux pas by the Senator Tory Westrum, but he's not a liar." No, I'm sorry if I implied that at all. I completely would agree with that. That, look, for all intents and purposes, Walz is saying you got to put tampons in the boys' bathroom, right? That's what he's saying. The actual law reads a little differently than that, but no doubt that that's the intention. So I have no issue with the senator on that one at all. Kevin, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, good morning. I shouldn't even be calling on this one because I am a male, but...
Okay. I love it when calls start out with, "I probably shouldn't be calling you on this," but you're good, brother. Don't worry about it.
I might as well. But anyway, so I graduated in 76, my wife in 77, but okay, let's go way back to the day. and girls turning into women, and it was still modesty. Not every girl had a home life where the mom would talk to the daughter about the coming stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they did offer them at a nurse's station if you needed them.
Sure.
Maybe. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. I bet that's kind of always been the case, that the nurse's office will have a little something.
Available,
yeah.
But that whole nonsense with, you know what, and yeah, that would be a given, or, yeah, it's just like, that's just creepy. It's,
mm-hmm.
The whole thing is creepy. And you know what? This wasn't always easy on the girls. They didn't know what hit them.
No.
And then they were excused to even go home from school because mm-hmm. of some accident.
Oh, yeah.
So this is stupid.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Kevin, you're good. Thanks for calling. You're 100% right, and I'm nodding my head along with kind of everything you're saying. So thank you for giving a call there, no doubt. Let's go to line two. That opens up a phone line if you would like to use it. Derek also wants to talk about the great state of Minnesota. Hey, Derek, what's going on?
Hey, yeah, so just another example. All these libs like to eat themselves alive. So a while back, they put it into place that because of racism and bigotry, they're just not going to pull people over for their tabs because it was racist.
Mm.
So just mm-hmm. Don't do your tabs.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you can say, "Well, sorry, I'm waiting for my reparations check to come for all the ills that have been forced upon me in this society." So I don't have the money to buy the license tabs. You're right, Derek. You might get away scot-free in certain places. You just might.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, bud. Appreciate you calling. All right. There's a lot of people that are driving around without the tabs on. I've been guilty of this before too. You kind of lose the thing and you sort of forget about it, and all of a sudden you find it in your bill pile one day. You're like, oh, I was supposed to have this done a month ago. All right, 23 past the hour. Let me catch a couple of texts here quickly. Steve, eliminate the North Dakota Highway Patrol altogether. We do not need Highway Patrol when we already have Sheriff's Patrol. I don't remember us talking about Highway Patrol. Maybe we were. But we don't need it because we have Sheriff's Patrol. I don't know about that. Now, if I didn't see a Highway Patrol, I can't say I'd be too sad about it. But I don't know that the sheriffs are out doing that, and especially on the interstates. They can't pull you over. I don't know. I don't know about that one. I feel like it's good to have Highway Patrol, not always just for the enforcement, but something happens on the road. They help out a lot, too, at difficult times. So I respect you, my man, or my lady, whoever you are, but I don't know that I agree with that one. And then another one, Steve, consider the trans access lawsuits. If you consider the trans access lawsuits, then tampons in the boys' room do become mandatory. Yeah, that's the thing. If your school district or your superintendent says, we believe the boys can go through these female cycles, then it, by extension, it sort of becomes a de facto mandate. Yeah, so, yeah, I'm trying to say it. You may have said it better than me, but I'm with you on that one. It's just kind of all how you want to look at it. So there you go. Okay, best thing I heard all day. I've been doing more and more of this lately, and I'm not proud of it, but the best thing I heard all day are things that make me cringe, but these are things that we need to hear and that it's good for us to hear. I'm going to play for you about a two-minute address by a California woman named Layla Jane. Don't know her last name, doesn't matter. She's a California girl. And she transitioned to being a male, or tried to, and then later on realized that she had made a horrible mistake. Now she is on the making the crusades here to talk about the dangers of this. And literally every person who makes laws in our country at any level, local, state, national, whatever, should have to listen to Layla.
My name is Layla, and I'm a detransitioner, or a survivor of gender medicine or sex rejecting interventions. I'm someone who underwent hormone blockers, the Lupron, and testosterone at 12, and shortly after I turned 13, I had a double mastectomy.
Oh.
I The reason why is because when I was 12, I didn't like my changing body as puberty hit. I had experienced a lot of trauma and I had undiagnosed and autism. Strangers on the internet helped to convince me that I could be trans, and I firmly believed in it. And I convinced my mom, who was told by doctors that I would die if she didn't accept me as her son and approve sex-rejecting interventions. I was almost immediately put on testosterone. I was fast-tracked through the medical system. You can hear its effects in my voice. I still have night terrors of when I was 13, when I was in the operating room. I dream of my surgeon being scrubbed in. I dream of the oxygen mask over my face and the IV being placed in my arm. I could still vividly feel it in my night terrors. I wake up sobbing very often. When I woke up from the surgery, my breasts were gone. They were gone before I could associate them with anything but traumatic memories. When the bandages came off, I looked down at my wounds. And I was kind of horrified. There was a hollow pit in my stomach. Why would a doctor, who is supposed to be a healer, amputate healthy body parts? I did not turn into a girl. I did not turn into a boy. I just became a girl with scars. Gender identity is a farce, and it's used to monetize, traumatize kids, destroy their bodies, as well as doing the same to mentally unwell adults. And I did it all. And I still look female, and I always will be female. You know, people like Dr. Joanna Olson Kennedy are out here today in support of raising more funds for these interventions, like what I underwent. She's quoted on the record saying, "Here's the thing about chest surgery. If you want breasts at a later point in your life, you can go and get them." That's false. There's a lot more that goes into it. She's referring to implants. Implants will not feed my future children. Getting implants won't help the nerve pain in my chest that I deal with every day. It's a scam. It's harming healthy children.
All right. I did not become a boy. I just became a girl with scars. It's unthinkable what we have done to so many of our children. Back after this. Rowan Joe Junk Haul and Removal. That's your only call when you got to get rid of that big pile of junk. And the snow, once again, is melting. We had that taken care of a while ago, but the snow that we got is melting again, and now you got to look at that pile all over again. When it had that nice little blank of white over the top, probably didn't look so bad. But now you're looking at it again, you're going, we really got to get this problem taken care of. Don't spend another summer looking at all that trash. Give my buddy John Minton a call at Rowan Joe Junk Haul and Removal. When it's got to go, call Rowan Joe. ROENJOJunk.com. Rowan Joe Junk Haul and Removal. Well, we're getting close, friends, right? I mean, July 4th will be here before we know it. We're only basically 3 months away now from the big opening week out of Teddy Roosevelt Presidential Library out in Medora to give us an update, kind of the 90-day out, T-minus 90 days. Robbie Loff is here, the executive director of the Teddy Roosevelt Presidential Library. Robbie, does that make you excited? Do you go, oh my gosh, we still got a lot to do out here?
Steve, it's 86 days, but who's counting? it's 86 days till July 4th, the 250th birthday of the greatest country in the history of this earth. Amen. It is exciting beyond all measure. We are so excited to bring the world to Medora.
So what's happening out there today? Give me like the eyes and ears of what's going on today. What's happening?
Well, if you were to be in Medora today, you would see road work being done. You would see 150, 200 construction workers up on site at the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library, installing and finishing the wood paneling on the exterior, closing up the cafe, finishing the auditorium, making it presentation ready, and putting up the exhibits and installing the incredible artifacts, over 500 artifacts from across this country, telling TR's actual story and experiences from his time in the Badlands to the presidency, to Africa and Amazon and beyond. So you would see a community getting ready to welcome the world and to welcome some of the most important people in our country to celebrate one of the most historic days in our nation's history. So let's just say morale is high, people are excited, and we are ready to welcome the world to the Badlands.
Is everything going to be ready by opening day that was in the initial plan, or is there anything that's going to take, you know, a couple of weeks, maybe a month or two to finish up that won't quite be ready to go by the time the popcorn starts popping?
Well, I'm looking right now for some wood to knock on, but as of this exact moment, we are on schedule and on budget for a grand opening that will achieve all of our goals from the original vision instated over 5 years ago. You know, a lot of projects, when you announce the initial scope and design, and, you know, think back to when we selected Snohetta as the architect for this firm, a lot of times those visions don't get fully realized. They actually get pulled back and reduced and smaller. Quite the opposite happened with the TR Library. We increased the size of the building since the initial concept, and we expanded the exhibit space. And all of our exhibits are going to be ready for grand opening. Of course, you know, it's a construction project, and it's North Dakota, so there's some weather that could be involved. But the road up to the library is scheduled to be complete. There's a brand new hotel being constructed in town, the Hotel 1883, a really incredible year in Medora's history, a year that three presidents were in Medora at the same in 1 week's time span. And when TR came for the first time to the Badlands September 8th, 1883, and arrived at the base of the draw where the TR Library is being constructed, that will be open at the base of the library. And of course, the incredible exhibits and the 93-acre grounds, all encompassing of everything you've seen rendered for the last few years, will be done and complete for July 4th, 2026.
So if I understand what you just said there, yes, all the exhibits will be open. There's a long way to go between now and then, but at this point, you don't expect there being any rooms or any wings where it's going to be curtained off. It's not going to be quite ready to go. Do I understand you right?
Correct. You're going to go through the whole museum, Steve, and I'm going to walk you through it, and it's going to blow your mind. You're going to get to go through eight chapters of his life and an entire narrative gallery with exhibits, and it's going to be fully complete and ready to go.
Nice.
Including a temporary gallery space, I'd say, as well, that's going to have a pretty special exhibit.
Okay. So what area do you project will be the thing that people I get in your position, you're going to say all of it, but is there a particular part of this whole thing where you're going to say, look, we really do, based on trends, projections, what's happening at other places, we project this will be the area where most people will say you got to get to see this part. I know I'm asking you to pick from your favorite children here, but is there a certain part where you feel like is going to be the draw?
Well, I'm going to actually reject your premise and say I do have a part that I think is most exciting, because they are all my favorite children, every chapter of his life. But there's a reason that I fell in love with Theodore Roosevelt, and that's because of this connection to North Dakota. And I truly believe that the fulcrum point in the hero's journey of Theodore Roosevelt's life happened here in 1884, when on February 14th, Valentine's Day, he lost his wife and his mother in the same day in the same house. They both passed away. He came back from the assembly in New York State, got back just in time to spend a few hours with his wife, his mother, before she passed, before he went up to his wife's room, before he spent a few hours before she passed. He took out his diary and he wrote, and diaries were how you kept history back then. That was the email, the text. Diaries are how we know what really happened. He took out his diary and he put an X on that date, and he said, "The light has gone out of my life." Could you think of a more symbolic way to say, I give up, I'm suicidal, I'm depressed, I'm giving up on my life, it's all over. Mm-hmm. And what did he do, Steve? He literally got on a train, headed west to the Badlands to get himself in trouble, to get himself hurt. He abandoned his newborn child. Instead of giving up on his life, he was reborn, he was healed, and he went on to become one of the greatest, in my opinion, the greatest president in American history, and to become the person who established conservation as a priority for the federal government. He established America as a global force for good. He established America as an economic powerhouse. All of that happened because he healed in the Badlands. And that diary will be on display in the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library for the first time in history. Mm. It'll be out of the storage of the Library of Congress. So that, for me, is my favorite point, because then you'll turn the corner and you'll be sitting around the Elkhorn Ranch and cabin where TR was. You'll get to experience what it was like to be TR in the Badlands, the solitude, the peace, the healing that happened. And you get to see just how important North Dakota was to perhaps the greatest American we've ever had. So for me, that's the story that I'm most excited to tell, because it inspired me to fall in love with my state even more, as somebody whose main passion is this beautiful place that we get to call home. And then we also inspired to show that anybody, kids of all youth and ages and stress who are going through the Anxious Generation, an incredible book about anxiety and depression amongst kids today, that you should go outdoors, put your cell phone down and heal in nature, and you will not even know what you can achieve. So that, for me, is the most exciting tale.
It's such a great story, and it really is America encapsulated in one individual about overcoming adversity. Things aren't always going to go well. Got to figure it out. And you're right, there were some dark days for Teddy, and he just kind of got this sort of reawakening when he was in North Dakota. And I think that's the part of the story I'm really looking forward to seeing as well. History is great. Love, you know, the chronology of our country and all those things. But the fact that it gets so personal at a presidential library like this is, I think, what I'm looking forward to really taking in the most. Can't wait to see that diary. That I know that's been a big talker for quite a while, and that should be a ton of fun. When we take a look at numbers there, I think the last estimates I heard on the total cost of the project was about $450 million. Is that still on track with what it's going to look like, or will it be a little higher than that by the time it's all said and done?
We are currently on track for the final budget to be $450 million in total. Again, we got a couple more months of construction. You might have noticed it's a pretty tumultuous world out there, but we have an incredible team that has managed to keep it on budget at this point. And I'll note there are other presidential libraries out there that are being constructed that haven't had that same experience. So we're very proud of the fact that we're building a world-class institution at the entrance of Theodore Roosevelt National Park, the only national park named after a person in the entire system, let alone our president. And we're doing it in a town of 120 people in a county of less than 1,000 that brings in already 850,000 visitors a year. So, you know, it was a daunting task to build this incredible 100,000 square foot world-class institution in that place, but we're doing it on time and on budget.
One of the things that I love about these openings, the grand openings, is that you get the former presidents to attend. Give us a sense of what that looks like. I'm assuming everybody's been invited for the big grand opening on July 4th. What does the RSVP list look like so far? And will President Trump be there either on that day or earlier in that week?
Well, I'll say this, Steve. First, I can't publicly confirm anything yet at this point because obviously we don't speak for the White House, and we'll let them speak for themselves. But we have very positive inclinations that we're going to have a pretty incredible visitor from Washington, D.C. in the week or in the period leading up to grand opening. You may recall that July 4th of last year, 2025, we were fortunate to have Vice President Vance visit Medora on the 1 year out from grand opening. And I think that's a pretty symbolic indicator of the importance of this project to our nation and our nation's leaders. So let's just say tune in for very exciting things to come and fun announcements in the near future. But I will tell you this, that this is a historic date in American history. The year that maybe a trivia question for you, Steve, what year do you think was the most visited year in history of Theodore Roosevelt National Park?
Oh boy. 2021, people started getting a little unnervous from COVID and decided to get outside a little bit more.
That's a really good guess, but the year is actually 1976.
Oh, okay.
America's 200th
oh,
birthday.
Oh, sure. Yep.
They achieved over 1 million people visited Theodore Roosevelt National Park that summer. On years of major significance in American history, there is a marked increase in people going to national parks, historic places, and places that celebrate America. Steve, can you think of any place that is more about faith, family, and freedom than Medora, North Dakota? So this place is going to be the center of the celebration across the country for the greatest symbolic date in our America's history so far, the semi-quincentennial. And you can imagine we're going to have some pretty incredible dignitaries there to celebrate and mark that occasion. So I say that to say this, it's going to be a big summer in the Badlands, and we are really excited to welcome all sorts of people and to go to trlibrary.com and buy your tickets. So you can come through the exhibits after July 4th.
Yeah, it's going to be a really, really fun week. Are you getting RSVPs from Bushes, Obamas, things like presidents from the past?
We are in contact with every presidential office about hopefully arranging a visit in the hopeful first year of the project. We are super optimistic about it. We're not announcing anything at this exact moment, but let's just say we have big things planned.
Okay, very good. Got just about another 30 seconds left or so. What gets you most excited about what you're going to see unfold here in the next 90 days?
Well, we're building our membership for the TR Library right now, which are the founding members who are going to be the people who make this thing succeed for decades to come. We have over 1,000 people across this nation signed up to donate $250 a year, which allows you unlimited admission to the library and exhibits, and to make you a founding member of this project that, frankly, is something that we should all be proud of as North Dakotans, that we built here in the greatest state in the nation. So I'd encourage people to go to trlibrary.com, sign up to be a founding member, and please, please, please get your plans on the calendar to come out to Medora this summer. Buy your tickets in advance because they're selling fast.
Yeah, I bet they are. Thanks a lot, Robbie. Always good to talk to you, my friend. Thanks for the update. Good luck with everything, and we'll see you out there real soon.
See you in the Badlands.
All right. Thanks so much. Take care.
When we come back, if you're a basketball fan in North Dakota, yesterday was a very good day for most of you. We'll talk about that coming up next on the Steve Alstrom Show. Here are your daily specials of PetroServe USA, helping America fuel better. Here's what you're having for lunch today. In Valley City, Sloppy Joe's. Harwood's got the chili burger, West Main Avenue, tater tot hot dish or French dip sandwich. 12th Avenue, they got the hot beef sandwich. 205 NP Avenue, they got those Sloppy Joe's over there too. Meatball sub in Ada. Lasagna at the 45th Street store. French dip sandwich in Castleton. In Glendon, you get the beefy noodles today. And in Wahpeton, the bacon cheeseburger hot dish. And all the goodies, all the treats, all the beverages, they got it all for you there at PetroServe USA, helping America fuel better. Yum. Good stuff there. All right. I was stopping for supper last night in Bismarck on my way back from Watford City. Opened up the social media feed just to catch up a little bit on my day because I hadn't had a chance to really see what was going on in the world. One of the people I follow on Twitter, I guess now, known as X, is Avery Kunin. And Avery is the wonderful women's basketball player for NDSU. And the season they had was fantastic. And just like with L. Evans a couple of years ago, I thought, you know, we're probably going to lose Avery to somebody, Big Ten, whatever, who's going to spend a whole bunch of money and try to get the reigning Summit League player of the year to come to their school. So I kind of just thought, well, it was a fun ride, but it's going to be, it's probably going to be watching her in another uniform next year. And Avery is a faith girl, and a lot of her social media posts have something to do with the Lord in them, which it's just fun to cheer for people who have that in common with. And she's just a marvelous basketball player, a great passer, great shooter, a leader. You see the videos after the games of like all the girls going up to her. She's kind of the Pied Piper there, signing autographs, and just seems to be a real high character kid, 4-0 student. I mean, just, you know, what's not to like? And I am scrolling through and I see Avery Kunin with a big graphic, no place we'd rather be with her and like 10 of her teammates. And the caption is, God's been good and his will is better. So much love this team and this community. No place we'd rather be. Hashtag one more. Hashtag roll herd at NDSU women's basketball. And I pumped my fist. I said, yes. Avery's coming back to the Bison for her senior year. Very excited. And the other nine teammates all posted the same graphic and they had their own messages too. And so the Bison, I'm reading Jeff Kolpak's summary of this in the forum, that the Bison are going to get back now seven of their top eight players. Seven of their top eight from a team that went 29-5 this past year. And doggone it, should have got into that NCAA tournament. One bad night in Sioux Falls, did them in. But they're darn near all of them coming back, including Carrington Asp, the freshman of the year in the conference as well. So my guess is, those ladies are going to be working really hard this summer with a little chip on their shoulder to get back out there and get it done. And that's going to be a ton of fun. It was so fun to see the crowds coming back to the BSA for women's basketball. And, boy, they're going to be back next year, too. And so fun to see. So excited about that. I said great day for North Dakota basketball. I guess if you're a UND women's fan, maybe not the greatest day, but good stuff there, and really fun to see what happens. 29 wins last year. That's crazy stuff. North Dakotans are some of the hardest workers in the country, but right now the state gets paid before your family does, taking a cut of your hard-earned money before you even see it. That's why Americans for Prosperity North Dakota is fighting to eliminate the state income tax entirely. It's time to put you back in control of every dollar you earn. We are done. We are done letting the government take its cut first. You deserve the freedom to prioritize your family's future, not the state's budget. And nine other states have already done this, eliminated their state income tax to attract jobs and families. Visit AFPND.org to learn more and join the movement. That's AFPND.org, Americans for Prosperity. From the text line here, the person that texted earlier about getting rid of highway patrol
clarified the responses. It was in reaction to talking about how is the state going to cut money off of its budget. And this individual says, cut the highway patrol. Sheriff's patrol can enforce any traffic laws on the interstate. We don't need a duplication of services. Well, I like the way you're thinking. I don't know that that's a duplication. I think, you know, the sheriffs are not, they got enough going where I don't think they're going to be able to do enough patrolling. That's my opinion. But maybe they, I don't know, have a few less people. I don't know. They're going to have to get to where they got to get to there. No doubt about that. Somebody else said duck stamps could go. Okay. Steve, why are you so surprised about loyalty to NDSU? I don't know that I'm surprised by it, but I mean, we just talked about L. Evans is now at Kansas, got a great offer and went to, you know, play the big time. All the men, I mean, Dave Richmond, the poor guy, can't keep a player on the NDSU roster. It's not there's anything wrong with NDSU. It's just you get an opportunity, you know, whoever calls you, South Carolina or Texas or whatever. And I don't know anything, but I'm assuming there were some pretty high-level schools that were calling. I'm just glad. Surprised isn't the word, but maybe a little, just happy to see it. Good stuff there. All right, my friend, you have a great day. Scott Henn, the What's on Your Mind show coming up next. Keep on flying that flag.